stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode number 71 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. Like I mentioned last week, I am going to continue on with looking at the differences between Dynasty values and redraft values of major players. Really looking at large differences for anybody that's going to matter this upcoming season, or who matters in Dynasty and is not projected to matter anywhere this upcoming season. So with that, let's get into the wide receiver rankings. To start off, I'm going to look at receivers who have a difference that is extremely large, but specifically I'm not going to look at the receivers who are way off in Timbuktu in their rankings. So like, the number one difference is Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick, in terms of this upcoming season for redraft, he has 102 rank, whereas in KTC, he has a rank of 169. I don't need to spend a bunch of time talking about him. But the first person that is interesting to talk about is Davante Adams. Davante Adams, in terms of Dynasty, is rank number 41. That's pretty low when you compare it to a lot of wide receivers. But in terms of redraft, he's ranked 16. Yes, he is 32.6 years old, but he's going to be a really good wide receiver, and if you are just relying on him to be a wide receiver too, he can come pretty cheap. If you compare that to potentially getting somebody like a Zay Flowers, like, you know he's going to be a wide receiver too. Even T. Higgins, you know he's going to be a wide receiver too, with some potential wide receiver one upside, some potential spike week upside. I feel like he and Davante Adams are very, very similar, but the price difference between them is quite large. So if you are looking for somebody to go in a one-year window, you can potentially jump onto the Davante Adams train and get yourself a bunch of that extra value that you don't necessarily need to hold on your roster and your starting lineup. Keep yourself flexible or allow yourself to get an upgrade at another position. There's two other wide receivers who fit a very similar mold to Davante Adams. Redraft ranked wide receiver number 15, but Dynasty 38 is Tyreek Hill. So same idea. The difference is that Davante Adams is a year older, and Tyreek Hill has a little bit more of those off-the-field issues to talk about. However, in the grand scheme of things, we're playing a game of football on the field. Tyreek Hill, we probably know what he's going to be, assuming that he does what we expect him to do from last year, as long as Tua stays healthy. Like, Tyreek Hill can perform at a top 15 rate, even when he's 31 years old. So, Tyreek Hill, definitely somebody that fits that similar mold. And the last guy, Mike Evans. Mike Evans, 1,000 plus yards every single year of his career. He's rank number 17 for redraft and 37 for Dynasty. Basically the same thing as Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams. So if you're sitting there with some younger wide receiver two types, maybe you can get yourself some extra value by going to one of these three guys in order to accrue that value, either in terms of flexibility or pushing it to somewhere else on your roster. The next player who I jumped past him because Mike Evans was the same archetype as the other two guys I was just talking about, but I want to talk about this guy because he could be relevant, but it's not necessarily that he's super relevant. So wide receiver 54. We talk all about wanting to have these top 50 wide receivers, and this is just outside the range, but Christian Kirk has a dynasty value of wide receiver 76. If you need a wide receiver to just toss into, say, your wide receiver 3 spot in your lineup, or you just need somebody that you might want to toss into a flex spot and you already have CJ Stroud as your quarterback, Christian Kirk's not a bad bet. Yeah, he is a little bit older. That's the way it's going to be for all of these guys in terms of where their dynasty value is less than their redraft value. But Christian Kirk can be a solid wide receiver. And so he is somebody that you might want to look at investing in just to get a little bit of a boost, maybe take a bet pretty cheaply. He's the kind of wide receiver you can go out and you can probably get him for a third. And so in terms of getting a wide receiver for a third who might be usable in your lineup, or you can get him as a throw-in to another deal, that's the kind of guy that's worth taking a shot on. The next one is the guy who played a similar role last year in Stephon Diggs. He played a similar role there in Houston, ended up with that ACL injury, but now he's in New England. And all the reports are he's the only wide receiver that's looked like a number one wide receiver. So Stephon Diggs has a redraft value of 35 and a dynasty value of 54. Note that this dynasty value 54 is with him being almost 32 years old. Like, he's an old guy. But if New England does have a good offense, we can see how that 35 wide receiver value lives up to its name and even more. And so Stephon Diggs, if you're going out there, you can go out and buy him pretty cheaply and take the bet for a year. Yeah, it's not a long-term bet, as with all these guys, but somebody that could be useful. The next wide receiver who fills a similar mold as what I just talked about with Stephon Diggs is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, once again, redraft 31, but dynasty of 46. So a little bit higher on both of those values than Stephon Diggs. People are obviously a little bit more in on Ridley this upcoming year. But in terms of grand scheme of things, the role that they would fill on your roster, I would kind of equate the two of them to be the same thing. So kind of like that combination of Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, and Devontae Adams, where they're the same role in terms of they'd fill a wide receiver two spot on your roster. The Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs, they're going to be your wide receiver threes. And that's A-okay. Just cheap guys who are older, twilight of their career, but they can fill a role for your team. And so there's somebody that you can go get cheap in order to upgrade that team to be able to make a little bit more of a push than maybe you normally would. The next guy who has even a bit more of an upgrade while not really being that much younger is Courtland Sutton. So Courtland Sutton, in terms of redraft, has a rank of 22. But for Dynasty, he has a rank of 34. So you do get a little bit of value for this year, but he is already 30 years old. I think the thing that buoys me into caring a little bit more about him is the fact that he did get to sign that extension. So he is on the team for 3 more years. He is getting the money that he rightfully deserves for being the number one wide receiver on Denver. And if they do what they did last year, we know that he's going to be pretty solid. So Courtland Sutton, somebody that I think you might want to just buy in a little bit on. Same thing with DJ Moore. The difference is DJ Moore is a year and a half younger than Courtland Sutton. So remember, Courtland Sutton, redraft 22, dynasty 34. DJ Moore is redraft 19, dynasty 30. So DJ Moore's got that extra year and a half of youth, but in terms of what everybody projects him to be, might as well be the same guy. So DJ Moore does have that little bit of an advantage, and is somebody that maybe we need to look into just trying to get a little bit more of him. Or maybe pivoting to DJ Moore from somebody like Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, a wide receiver 20 for redraft and 31 for dynasty. Literally one spot behind DJ Moore for both numbers. So basically we are viewing DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin as the same wide receiver, and I bet you we're viewing Courtland Sutton almost as the same wide receivers as those guys. Now, those are three names that if I went to you probably like 2-3 years ago, I don't think anybody had those three names specifically as the same grouping. Instead, DJ Moore was the one who was way higher up, Courtland Sutton was way lower, and And I would say that Terry McLaurin, he was probably in the middle somewhere. Like, we were just waiting for Terry McLaurin to, you know, actually get an opportunity, but DJ Moore was definitely the guy you'd want. Well, they're all the same guy now. The difference is DJ Moore still has that extra year of youth on those other two guys. In fact, it's a full year and a half. I don't know how much a half year makes to you necessarily in terms of some of you number crunchers out there, but it does mean something to me when I'm looking at three players that are identical. And so maybe DJ Moore becomes a little bit of a target out of that group. Maybe that also depends on what you think is going to come out of Chicago. But if I'm looking at straight rankings, the fact that their redraft ranks are all basically the same would make me think that they should be the same receiver coming into the season. And so, therefore, I want to try and get myself a little bit of DJ Moore if I can pivot off of some Terry McLaurin, and I can pivot off some Cortland Sutton to do the same thing. The last couple guys I want to talk about are three players that are in the same rankings range, but there's a little bit more peripherals that you're going to need to pay attention to. So the last little grouping is Jacoby Myers, Chris Godwin, and Juwan Jennings. Obviously, you already know where I'm going to go with this. You need to pay attention to the fact that Chris Godwin and Juwan Jennings have some injury problems right now. You got to get through those. Jacoby Myers, he's on the field, he's just fine. But all three of those wide receivers, I will read their redraft, then dynasty in order. So, Jacoby Myers, redraft 37, dynasty 48. Chris Godwin, redraft 38, dynasty 49. Juwan Jennings, redraft 41, dynasty 52. Literally, they might as well be the exact same. This is coming from two different sources, mind you. They might as well be the exact same players in terms of, hey, one position separates Myers to Godwin, three positions separates Godwin to Jennings. It's just all in order. And so when we're looking at that, to me, them being so close, them being all in order, we know which one the community wants most. That's Jacoby Myers. But all three of those guys, they might as well be the same wide receiver. And so if you've got that Chris Godwin and Juwan Jennings hanging out and you don't want to mess with the injuries, Jacoby Myers should be somebody you're going and grabbing. If you're looking at it like, hey, I'd want to take a chance on those injuries, well, maybe Jacoby Myers, you flip, you turn into one of those other guys if, like, maybe you've got a stack. It's those kinds of little moves just help upgrade your team or just get yourself some cheaper wide receivers. Those three guys are all going to be your wide, like, right after your wide receiver three, so you're kind of more your flexible wide receivers. But because they're cheaper, you can probably get them to get some production, whether it's to fill that wide receiver three spot that you just can't get another wide receiver for, or just filling in a flex. Now, I want to go the other direction. Who are our receivers that have really high dynasty ranks and have very, very low redraft ranks? So the one with the highest differential is Emeka Egbuka. Emeka Egbuka has a redraft rank of 48 and a dynasty rank of 17. I fully expect that this is going to change, and maybe this is me putting my dynasty rose-colored glasses on. But literally earlier today, as of me recording this, Jalen McMillan, it was announced that he's probably going on IR to start the season. With Chris Godwin having the second surgery that he had, he's probably not going to be ready to start the season as well. It's looking like it's going to be Egbuka across from Mike Evans. And that's probably going to be the entire wide receiver room and the pass catchers that you actually want on Tampa Bay. So if that's the case, then Egbuka, with how well they do throwing the ball, he might end up being one of those guys that lives up to that dynasty hype. And if so, we know his dynasty value is going to go through the stratosphere, and he's going to do better than this redraft 48. This is where some of that player take comes into it. But for those of you who don't want my player takes, who are here for my analysis is that Emeka Egbuka has a massive dynasty value compared to his redraft value. Wide receiver 17 compared to wide receiver 48 for redraft purposes, it's basically meaning that he should be probably back-end flex, with top end of your bench sort of value. And he's somebody that at wide receiver 17, you can get more than a first for. So obviously you would want to take that value. And maybe even if you believe in Igbuka, if you've got a team where you don't need the long term, you need the short term now. Well, Igbuka for some value and then going up and getting, you know, that Davante Adams or that Mike Evans, well, that is probably going to be something that you can do and get yourself even more points than Igbuka would at the start of the year. You just might end up in a situation where you're losing out on that long-term value as well, even with getting the flexibility. So it's just something to keep in mind of. To stay on a similar vein, I'm going to jump up to Travis Hunter and Tet McMillan. So Travis Hunter has a difference where his dynasty value is 16, one spot above Igbuka, but his redraft value is 33. With that, that is telling us that there is some value to be gained here. So with a dynasty value of 16, we're projecting that he's going to be a wide receiver 3 type player. That's not terribly exciting in terms of what we would want out of a guy like Travis Hunter. And part of it is just that we don't know what he's going to be. Keep in mind, he's playing on Jacksonville. There's all sorts of reasons to believe that it isn't going to work out. He's also a two-way player. Is he going to be able to hold up to all the snaps that he's going to put to play? Are they going to play him enough on offense that we're going to see the kind of fantasy production that we want? Keep in mind, for fantasy purposes, a wide receiver who gets 800 yards and off of his 70 catches, like, that's a guy that, like, sure, we want a roster, but he's not breaking anything for us. Like, he's not really somebody that's terribly useful. Like, those are the kinds of guys that are that we would equate to, like, a wide receiver 3. But that might be deemed a success in Jacksonville. It might be deemed a screaming success in Jacksonville. The real NFL does not play fantasy. The real NFL plays football. And so we need to keep that in mind with Travis Hunter. It might not be the risk that you want to take on a contender this coming year. You might want to just get out of your Travis Hunter now in order to be able to have the opportunity to get the value that might be the peak of what he is, especially if he's not out there on more than 80% of the snaps in week one. With Tet McMillan, we expect that he'll probably be out there for 80% of the snaps, but what does that even look like when you're in Carolina? That's probably not something that's great. You probably are not looking at a result here that is going to be living up to the full dynasty value at spot 14. Redraft, he's currently projected to be 25. If we think that's where Tet McMillan ends up, then great. But it's still just a top-end wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 range. That's not getting anybody excited. The only saving grace here is that he's wide receiver 14, like, compared to Igbuka's 17. And Igbuka's redraft projection is wide receiver 48, whereas Tet's is 25. So, like, there is a pretty big difference there. But there's some value to be gained by going older if you need it. And obviously, to just round out the round one rookie wide receivers, let's take a second and let's talk about Matthew Golden. Matthew Golden, wide receiver 26 for dynasty purposes, but wide receiver 50 for redraft. That's a pretty big difference, and he's somebody that if you can go and you can get some good value out of him, then you might be sitting in the driver's seat in terms of value as the season goes along. Because if Matthew Golden is wrapped up in all that Green Bay wide receiver room, where we don't know who's getting what and all those sorts of things, well, then you know that you've come out on top by getting rid of him. But if he does end up being wide receiver 1 overall in that Green Bay room, he's getting a ton of targets to him consistently, well, then you probably lose out. That's the whole reason he's down there at wide receiver 50. We just don't know what to expect out of that room. Same thing goes with Luther Burden. Luther Burden at wide receiver 56 for redraft, but 35 for dynasty. And then same with Jaden Higgins, wide receiver 62 for redraft and 39 for dynasty. those guys were projecting that they could have big roles. That's why they are higher up in those redraft ranks than being down in like the 80s or 90s. But they're young, and so that's why they're 35 and 39 in Dynasty, because if they do show out, then they're going to rocket probably right up 10 spots. And so if we're looking at these players, you have to understand that you're making these massive bets on their youth with no proven production. That's kind of what I'm seeing here with all the wide receiver numbers. Everything is hypotheticals. Everything is, we're projecting these things out of these wide receivers off of nothing getting proven. The only guys who are even down in this range that are anywhere close to relevant in terms of their values for their teams is Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze, redraft 36 and dynasty 20. And Jordan Addison, who's at a redraft rank of 40 and a dynasty rank of 27. Those are the only two guys that are relevant that have a dynasty value less than 50 or a redraft value less than 50, who are somebody that I can even sit here and talk about as having a massive difference between their dynasty and redraft values. Everyone else is a rookie. Every single wide receiver. The next closest that's not the Addison and that's not the Roma Dunze is Ricky Pearsall. And what is the one theme that we have between all three of those players? It's that we don't know exactly what they look like. Like, all the old guys that I was talking about, like, the reason that their dynasty value's super different is just because they're so old. They're, like, 30-plus years old. I mean, some of them were 28, sure, but, like, the thing is, it seems like father time is against them. In this case, every single value discrepancy at the wide receiver position is because we don't know what these guys are. So if you're a contender and you're relying on riding these guys into the season, you either need to be willing to bail out really early if it's not going well, or just bail out now. Get into something more consistent, and assuming you have the value to be able to put that in later as the season goes on, you get the assets that you know are going to be there. So unlike with quarterback and running back, where I found some players who were not rookies or extremely young, unknown ceiling players, at wide receiver, we kind of know what we're doing. So if you're a rebuilder, you already knew that these guys were your targets. You're trying to get that huge spike in value when these guys do well. And if you're a contender, you probably don't want these guys, or if you do, they're filling a role on your team. You're hoping that they're going to hit. And if they don't, you're ready to get off of them pretty quick. So, at the wide receiver position, I say good job to the Dynasty community. At the tight end position, it's going to be a shorter list because, well, we have fewer tight ends to talk about. The first tight end to discuss is everyone's favorite underrated tight end year over year, Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry for Dynasty, tight end 31. In terms of, for redraft, tight end 16. Yeah, he's not even a tight end one by redraft, but I'm going to talk about him, because that difference is enough for me to be intrigued. We know that Zach Ertz, he was pretty useful last year. Tight end 19 in terms of coming into this year, with a dynasty rank of 37. So he's just a little bit behind Hunter Henry on both those marks. But the difference is that Zach Ertz, he's 35 years old. Hunter Henry, he's 31. In fact, he's not even 31. He's 30.7 years old. So, if we're looking at that, Hunter Henry's the kind of guy that if you need somebody to toss in and you've got literally no one, he's somebody that you can go out and get pretty cheaply. Or, if you have Hunter Henry on your team and you have somebody that's more value and you want to kick that over to another position, Hunter Henry can probably be serviceable for you. Just keep in mind the tight ends don't matter strategy of maybe even want to get rid of Hunter Henry and just really play the waiver wire. To talk about two other tight ends who are bunched together that are older guys. Travis Kelce, redraft tight end 6 but dynasty tight end 18, is right next to Evan Engram, redraft tight end 7, dynasty tight end 17. The difference is, Evan Engram, he's only 31 years old, 30.9 at this moment. Whereas Travis Kelce, 35.8. We were worried he was going to retire this offseason. Maybe he's retiring next offseason. So because of that, Evan Engram's definitely somebody to be more interested in as a result. On the flip side, there's a grouping of three tight ends that are guys that are on the younger side who you might want to look at selling. The first one is Elijah Arroyo. Elijah Arroyo, he's been getting steamed up, and he's at dynasty tight end number 16 right now. Now, redraft, he's tight end 29. Basically, what you're betting on is the fact that he comes out the gate and he does really well. Keep in mind, if Arroyo comes out and he finishes the year at tight end 18, nobody's going to be excited about that. Even if he finishes like tight end 15, that's fine. He maybe has a spike week or two that you can sell off of, but just, it's not that exciting. And so the value of tight end 16, he's just going to get overrun by the new rookies in next year's class. Same thing goes with Mason Taylor. Dynasty tight end 14, redraft tight end 26. If he does really well, great. But you're relying on Justin Fields to be the guy that does that for him. I'm not that confident Justin Fields is the passer that you're going to want to see. Even if he gets hurt, you're then relying on Tyrod Taylor. Like, it's just not an exciting proposition there in New York. And the fact that he's up there at tight end 14, you can probably just get some value off of him now, off of people who think that, oh, I've got the rookie tight end who's going to do the best this year. He's going to score the most points. In reality, you probably have a dud to begin with. And that really goes with all the tight ends, but, you know, it is what it is. The third guy who fits in that group in terms of rankings, but not in terms of profile, is Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely, dynasty tight end number 11 still, somehow, which I don't understand. And he's redraft tight end 24, still, somehow, don't really understand. I mean, the guy had two usable weeks last year, and so many people missed that first one because it was week number one of the season. If it's week number one of the season again this year, guess what? Everybody's missing it again because nobody's starting them. So Isaiah Likely is somebody that, like, if you still have him on your teams, I know I don't have any to sell. That is really my regret, is that I still don't have any to get rid of because I want to get rid of him at these prices, and I got rid of him at these prices like a year and a half ago. So Isaiah Likely still hanging around. I'm a Baltimore fan. I'm telling you to get rid of Isaiah Likely. Just please don't hang on to him. The last guy who's got a large dynasty ranking that is not a rookie, because I'm just going to skip over Loveland and Warren after talking all about those rookie wide receivers, is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, kind of similar to Isaiah Likely in a sense. Redraft tight end number 18, but dynasty tight end number 9? Like, really? Are we still that in on Kyle Pitts that we're going to spend tight end 9 prices on this guy? I mean, you're looking at it in terms of tight end number 9. It's putting him as better than David Njoku, better than Mark Andrews. And he just shown us for years now that, yeah, outside of that first rookie year, he's not doing anything for us. And so, if what we see is year after year of repeated, just he's not doing good, it's not like the coaching situation has changed down there in Atlanta. So it's not like he's going to get used any differently. So, in my opinion, we're overdrafting him once again from a dynasty standpoint. And you should get rid of him basically anywhere you have him. Tight end 18, just not good numbers. You're not. I was telling you with some of these guys at tight end 14 for dynasty, if they finish tight end 14 on the year, that we're going to be eh, and they're probably going to get overrun by some tight ends in next year's draft class. Well, Kyle Pitts is projected to finish even worse, and we have him ranked even higher for dynasty purposes. At some point, you got to cut bait off the Kyle Pitts train if you still have him and you can still get value, which, once again, somehow you still can. So with that, that's everything that I have on this little mini-series on the differences between Dynasty and Redraft values. Some players to target, or some players to sell off, depending on the situation your team is in. As always, check out everything that I have over at southharmonff.com, and reach out to me at DynastyKoopa on X and at KoopaTroopa8 everywhere else. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.